Amen. He gave me this message. Oh, also, our good friend, Pastor Terry, and Sister Terry, thank God for having them with us. Amen. Blessed by the Lord to have them. But we're going to read verses 1 through 10 of this 5th chapter of 1 Peter. Now, I'm like Pastor Harper. I got my watch on. I'm going to put it down because most of the time when it's up, I don't see it. I'm going to stay within our time frame because we do have to be back tonight at 5 o'clock. Amen? But we're going to start reading together. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Does everybody have it? And if you do not have it, we know that it's where?
Three.
Amen. Let us start. The elders, which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, be the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by, but willingly and not for, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a that how many wait on the crown? Lord, I wait for my crown that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, some of you. Though you didn't feel like it. But who? All of you be in subjection one to another. And be. Is that some of you or who? All of you. Be clothed with humility. For God. Resisted. Somebody said, you can stop right there. We're going to keep going. There's another message. All right. And give it grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the that. Look at somebody say that he may do it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to blow your heart. You don't have to build your case. That he may exalt you in due time. Casting glory to God. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may, whom resists with your own carnal power, resist him with your flesh, resist him with your tongue, resist him fighting, resist him how? In the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He ain't the God of some grace, but he's the God of and it's not speak, Lord, for thy servant here. And these blessings and favors we're going to claim in Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? Well, our message is actually going to come out of this sin. You might be seated. Amen. I think you can be seated. I know we have a long weekend. I'm going to try and go fast. So not only, I take away the tendency to go into that other world. You know, sometimes when you're real tired and the preacher ain't saying enough, you just slip out. I'm going to try and go fast enough so you don't have to slip out. Amen. But it says, the God of all grace. Everything you need is in God. The God of all grace. Now, grace is God's help when you need it. So it says, the God of all grace, amen, who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered, after you suffered, our message this afternoon, that you might not be able to remember this, but just look at somebody that says, anybody feeling real good right about now? Anybody feeling like you know the Lord right now? Anybody feeling like God has done something for you? Well, when you look at that person, don't say, oh, well. When you talk to them like God did something for you. It's not going to be a hard message to remember. Look at somebody and tell them after that. Look at somebody else and tell them after that. That's the message. We don't have to do a whole lot. What after that? Amen. After that. Well, you say, well, what's so big about after that? What's so big about after that is he didn't do it before that. Amen. He didn't do it during that. But God did it after that. He said, after that you have, you know what Peter's saying? He said, you know, you're going to have some struggles. Because the scripture says, many are the afflictions. Anybody can live in righteous? Well, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange. I said, I didn't ever think it'd be like this. Stay the course. I watch them when they're dealing with court situations. They said, trust the process. Amen. How many trust God enough to trust the process? The process is, when you're going through, sometimes it seems like you don't have no relief. But you have to trust. Well, what's the process? God is sovereign. And God won't put anything more on you than you are able to bear. But because he is faithful, I'm trusting the process. I didn't say I understand the process. I don't say I like the process. But I am trusting. If I look back, a few years ago, some of the things that God brought me through, if I didn't trust the process, I would have fainted and given up. But I heard David say that I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord where? Oh, we always talk about after a while and into the street, oh, by. But the psalmist said, I trusted the process. And then in me trusting the process, I didn't get my victory when I wanted it. I didn't get it when I expected it. But I got it after that. Anybody going through something right now, you don't see how the end's going to turn out. I heard somebody say, after that. After that, God finished doing what he has to do. He knows how to fix it. Because he's an El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. Amen. I'm going to deviate a little bit. I'm going to stay on course, but I'm going to deviate a little bit. Anybody know when God brought Israel out of Egypt? Anybody know that story? Anybody know some of the details of that story? When God called Moses, he said, I've heard the cry because he knows. He knows. Isn't it good to have a God that knows you personally? He knows my name. And my God sees every tear. He hears every cry. And he hears me when I call. He knows. He told Moses, he said, I've seen and I've heard the cry of my people. And I'm going to send you to deliver them. And Moses said, not me. Lord, I'm not qualified. Anybody here feel they're unqualified? Just trust the process. Moses couldn't figure out how God was going to use somebody who can't even talk right. Well, I first got to say, I didn't do a whole lot of talking because I couldn't talk right. But when you got somebody good like my wife behind you, you learn to be a little more eloquent. You have to trust the process. Amen. So if your spouse ain't so good, don't worry about them. Just do the process. Wherever they're short, then do the process. So Moses said, Lord, I'm not qualified. I stammer. He said, who's going to listen to me? You know how all of us, time God sends you to do something, the first thing you do is disqualify yourself. But God said, no, Moses, I'm going to send you. And then God showed Moses, he said, to show you how I'm going to be with you, Moses. He said, what do you have in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, well, I'm going to show you what I can do. She said, throw the rod down. And when he threw the rod down, it became a serpent. He said, now pick it back up, and it turned back into a... He said, now Moses, I want you to take your hand and put it inside of your shirt. And then take it out. When he took it out, it was leprous, as white as snow. He said, now put it back in. And he put it back in. And when he took it out, it was clean. So God was working on a process. He said, I want you to take some water and pour it on the ground. And when he poured it on the ground, it became blood. Right? So that was the process. So he said, now when you go to my people, because I'm going to send you to the people that I've chosen. And then you're going to let them know that you've come to deliver them. Moses said, well, Lord, they're not going to believe. Can I say ink? I know. In the English, he's y'all can read my paper later. Right, but right now I ain't worried about the grade, all right? Moses said, they ain't gonna listen to me. All right, Kathy, I know you're educated. Don't forget me later, all right? They ain't gonna listen. Moses said, well, when you go before them, the three signs. See, you gotta know the details. It's good to know the story. But how about knowing the details? He said, Moses, just do those three signs in the face of the people. And when Moses went to Israel, he said, the Lord God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, sent me unto you. And he did the signs in front of the people. How many of you know, what did they do after he did the sign? They did what? They fell down and worshiped. And honor God, you got to know the details. It's good to know the surface, but then it's better to know the details. So they honor God, they worship, they praise God, because he sent them deliverance. But they didn't realize God had a process. So when Moses goes and Aaron goes before Pharaoh, they say, well, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to tell you, let my people go. You know, Israel was looking for immediate deliverance, just like a lot of us in our situation. We want what kind of deliverance? Right now, deliverance. But God had a process. Amen. So he goes and Pharaoh gets upset. He said, okay, since you want to go and praise the Lord, I'm going to make your situation that much worse. Don't you realize Pharaoh was a type of the devil? When you want to praise God, when you want to go for deliverance, he's going to make your situation
worse.
They're the same people that worship God. When the situation got worse, they went to Moses and said, you have made us to stink in the eyes of Pharaoh. They were You said you were going to deliver the people. You said you heard their cry. He said, Lord, you made it worse. God said, well, Pharaoh don't know what's going to happen yet. He said, I'm about to show Pharaoh something. And I'm about to deliver Israel with a mighty hand. But he had a process. So then Moses goes back after he talks to God, and he goes to the people, and I believe you can read about it in the 6th chapter of Exodus. They said the people wouldn't even listen to Moses then. Wait a minute, you just worship God for the expected deliverance. But then he said they wouldn't even hearken to Moses because of the anguish of spirit and because of the hardness and hardship they were going through. That sound like any of us excited for what God said he's going to do, and then you went through something and you wouldn't even listen. They wouldn't even hearken to God. So God told him, he said, well, I'll show you Moses, and I'll show Pharaoh, and I'll show everybody else. I'm about to bring my people out with a mighty hand. So Moses goes before Pharaoh and throws down his rod and becomes a serpent. So the magicians of Pharaoh do the same thing. So Pharaoh said, you ain't got nothing on me. He said, the Lord said, deliver my people. Well, and Pharaoh had a nerve to say, Who is? The Lord. So the serpent didn't get him. I'm building this up so the kids will remember this too, right? So then after he does the serpent, he pours out the waters from the river Nile, and it becomes blood. That didn't do it yet. Then after that, he poured it out and it became blood. Then he sent one plague after another. After the blood, he sent bunches of frogs. And then Pharaoh would change for a little while. And then after God would get rid of that plague, he changed his mind. So after the frog, he sent a bunch of lice, I believe. And now every miracle that Moses had performed with the help of the Lord at this time, the magicians of Egypt did the same. But it was something different when they sent the plague of lice. It said that when the magicians of Egypt tried to duplicate the miracles, they could not do it. And they went to Pharaoh and they said, this is the finger of God. This ain't something that anybody can do. This is the finger of God. And the Bible said, from that day forward, God separated what happened in Goshen to what happened in the rest of Egypt because they were God's people. But how many know it still got worse? Because God had a process. If we don't trust the process, if we get frustrated, if we quit, God can't do what he says he's going to do. But look at somebody saying, after that, the tenth plague, after that, Pharaoh said, get him out of here. He said, get him out of here because God had already warned him. He said, I'm going to deliver you with a mighty hand, but I'm going to do something in my process. When you get ready to go, I'm going to make sure you go with everything you need to sustain you along the way. You're going to borrow from your neighbor and you're going to get money. You're going to borrow from your neighbors, you're going to get cattle. Why? Because this is my process. But he didn't do it until after that. After that, he delivered the children of Israel. Then Pharaoh had the nerve to get angry. Still was a process. And the process had to go at, listen, your deliverance won't come before that. Your deliverance won't come during that, but your deliverance comes after that. When we look at that after that, we said, Lord, if I had the slightest notion, this is the way you would, When Israel got to Babylon, they was in the man. going to do anything. I'm just going to wait for deliverance. God said, no, that's not how I work. He said, I still want you to build houses. I still want you to marry. He said, I still want you to live. I don't want you to become a recluse or a monk and go somewhere and hide. He said, I still want you to live. Because after 70 years are fulfilled, he said, I'm going to return and perform my good work unto you. He said, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil. It's my desire to give you an expected end. But it's not going to happen at the 69th year. It's not going to happen 69 years and a half. It's not going to happen 69 years and three quarters. It's not going to happen.
I thank God because I was in the military. and I was in the Marine Corps. And this walk of God in the spiritual is like being in the military. Paul said that to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2 chapter. He said that we have to endure hardness as a good soldier in the army of the Lord. Now, a lot of you have never probably been in the military, but if you're in Christ, you are in a spiritual army right now. And in this walk of God, or in the natural, the man's military, you go through what they call boot camps. But as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. In the natural, boot camp is all about preparation. In the natural, boot camp is all about preparing you to become a soldier for the military. But as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. Spiritually, the church and what we go through is our boot camp, because God is preparing us for something far greater. Can you say amen?
Hallelujah.